If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Amazing Grace from Andy Hall's solo record, 12 Bluegrass Classics for Resophonic Guitar. Many years ago, I saw Jared Douglas play here in Toronto with the Derek Trucks Band, and I was completely mesmerized by the tone of the dobro and the way in which Jerry commanded the instrument. Since then, I've had the good fortune of seeing Andy Hall and Anders Beck play live, and obviously on tape, and I still can't believe how cool the dobro is, or rather the resophonic guitar sounds when in capable hands. So when I heard Andy Hall, the sly dobro resophonic guitar player of the infamous String Dusters, was releasing a record, I thought it would be a great time to get in touch and talk about the record itself, but also the instrument I think we all don't know enough about. Before we get to the conversation, please keep in mind that this was recorded some time ago, so by now you know that they've played some live shows and have been in the studio making music as a band. That's the infamous String Dusters, of course. Also, when we talked about dobro players, I'm sure neither of us purposely forgot to mention Anders Beck, but of course we both hold him in high regard. My conversation, though, started when I asked Andy if this solo record was planned, or if time away from the Dusters due to the pandemic inspired the release.
Solo records are kind of a weird thing for me. You know, the focus for me has been the String Dusters so much recently. I did a duo record with a guy named Roosevelt Collier about, gosh, I guess it's been 5 years ago now. But I hadn't really, there's a lot I wanted to do as far as like solo work and dobro playing, but it just, my bandwidth was so focused on the String Dusters that I had a lot of different ideas for a solo record, but I just never thought I would have time. And so I kind of just like put that priority on the back burner for just until something changed. I had a lot of different things I wanted to do, but this idea, the idea of doing basically jam tunes, like fiddle tunes, just like picking tunes that I've done for years, but never recorded, had been on my mind. But again, like because of how busy the Dusters were, it was just kind of like, I don't know, even though it's just even me playing, I don't even need to hire anybody or put a session together, I, it was still like I couldn't figure out how I had the bandwidth to do it. So when COVID hit, I had about five different ideas for solo records. This one came to the top because it's just me.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a little of both. I had thought about this idea of just doing like picking tunes. You know, these are tunes that like that I've played for so long, but just because they're sort of like jam tunes, and I like to do like songs I've written usually. Again, it was sort of like, well, I don't know if that's worthwhile, but I realized like this is a little insight into what I do, like that people don't get to hear. This is me. This is what I hear mostly, me in my house practicing, playing dobro. And I thought it'd be cool to give people a little insight into some of that. But
totally. And you know what? I can't thank you enough. I think it's quite an eclectic mix of tunes. Like you say, it is picking tunes. Many of these are traditional tunes, except for House of the Rising Sun. Not a Procol Harum tune is not what we would call the traditional tune.
Well, you would think. But in the world of dobro, it actually is. So not to contradict you. I mean, of course, it's a rock tune.
Right.
And so, like, it's not, you know. But honestly, a lot of these tunes probably came from, I mean, some were really old. But, yeah, 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe, some of these other picking tunes. But a guy named Mike Aldridge, who's a legendary dobro player, played in a band called The Seldom Scene, recorded a version of House of the Rising Sun maybe in the early 70s on one of his record, and it became kind of a dobro staple for slide players. So even for me, it happened before I was even born. So to me, House of the Rising Sun is like a traditional dobro tune, even though, you know, but you would only know that if you were kind of super hip to like dobro stuff, you know?
Right. Right.
So, but yeah.
It's interesting because the name of the record is 12 Bluegrass Classics for Resophonic Guitar. Why did you decide not just to say 12 Bluegrass Classics for dobro? What made you go with that title?
Well, you know, I try to be a little bit sensitive sometimes with the term dobro because it's a trademarked brand name.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, but it also is like the common term for a wood body resonator guitar. You know, it's just sort of a little bit of respect to like dobro builders. Like the guy who I work with, Paul Beard, he doesn't make dobros. He makes resophonic guitars because dobro is a brand, you know? So it's right. Like, it's just a, you know, it's just sort of, it's just trying to be sort of official with the term. Although I think, you know, you can certainly use dobro as just like a generic term as well, but
like Kleenex, right? At this point,
it's like Kleenex. Exactly. It's even, I mean, even more so. I mean, it's like dobro is like so ubiquitous, but technically it is a brand name. And so I just wanted to, you know, be respectful of that. And again, of like all the other builders who bust their butt making resophonic guitars and probably might appreciate you not calling their instrument some other brand. But also it kind of just fit in with this, like, it's a little bit tongue in cheek, like the length of it and just the kind of like, it's almost like this very official, like something you'd imagine a series of or something, you know, like Hot 100 dobro hits.
Yeah.
I don't, totally. You know, so I kind of like thought, well, it's long and it's kind of funny and campy, and so I did it.
Well, even the artwork I think is sort of campy in that same way, right? Like a caricature of yourself and the big graphics and everything else, it fits with the whole idea of what you're trying to accomplish. Probably.
Yeah, it's like you almost imagine that would be the title of something like in the 50s or something. I don't
totally.
Know, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a bit of a joke, but it's also, it tells you exactly what it is.
So how did you pick these tunes? Because they are classic bluegrass tunes or classic picking tunes. How did you? I mean, the canon was huge. How did you settle on these 12, or were there more that you kind of had to leave on the cutting room floor?
Yeah, there. I mean, you're right. There's almost an endless amount of tunes you could take like this. These are sort of the ones that I have maybe played the most, you know. I mean, I wanted a variety, so I picked a few like slow songs. With everyone, it was kind of a little different. Some of them are just ones that I like have versions of that I know how to play. Right. Others are like Amazing Grace, you know, it's been done a million times, but that's a kind of a meaningful song to me. I played it at both of my grandparents' funerals. Mm. And so that is something that reminds me of them and makes me kind of feel a certain way. Like House of the Rising Sun. You wouldn't think of it as a classic tune, but it's kind of a ubiquitous like Dobro tune among Dobro right. players. So I kind of picked that for that reason. And then, yeah, some of the others were just like, again, tunes that I know particularly well. And so I just, you know, I thought as opposed to trying to like create versions of songs, although like you said, I could, you know, and I may do other volumes of this. I mean, 12 is not very many. I could probably right. do 10 issues of this.
It could be an ongoing series, right?
Yeah, but I just thought, you know, I just looked for variety. Like there's a song called Panhandle Rag, which is like a Western swing song, you know, so I wanted to get a little bit of that vibe. So I want to kind of cover a lot of different sounds that the slide does, little like styles, whether it be kind of you know, bluegrass with like a song like Cherokee Shuffle or Fireball Mail, a little bit of Western swing, some kind of, you know, the gospel with Amazing Grace and the pretty slow waltzes and things. So I looked for variety. I looked for tunes that I was just really familiar with and that could really get in deep with, you know. I didn't want to feel like I had to like learn new songs or really develop songs. I wanted to get deep into just like getting these songs just as good as they could be. And so I picked stuff that I knew pretty well.
The other part of it, of course, is that you enjoy covers and you do a lot of covers, particularly with the Dusters and performing and all of that. Is it fun for you to take a song and you've sort of said already that House of the Rising Sun has been a pick and tune, but is it fun for you to take songs that aren't necessarily on this record, but that you play as a Dobroist or as a resophonic guitar player that, you know, I'm thinking of your performance of Casey Jones with the Denver All-Stars and how you destroyed on that track. Was there any thought to some of those covers and bringing some of those things into the mix?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the cool thing about a project like this is that you could take it in any direction. I could do slide guitar covers of Grateful Dead songs. I could do what, you know, and so it's kind of like wide open in that way. And I do love it because the melodies of like rock songs or maybe more popular songs they're a lot more melody intensive. Picking tunes are like very notey a lot of times. There's a lot of notes and it's more about this, all like the sort of the virtuosity and all the notes kind of washing over you. And, you know, it's like dance music, you know, like fiddle music is like traditionally dance music, but rock tunes, you know, obviously some people would have a familiarity with it and the melodies are more like based off of vocals, you know, it's like you're taking what someone was singing and playing it on the instrument. And I love that. And Dobro lends itself really well to that because it's like, it has a real vocal quality. It's got a lot of sustain. It kind of can soar and sing. And so I feel like Dobro lends itself really well to taking like cover songs or rock songs or stuff like that and putting them into that context.
There seems to be this idea of taking traditional bluegrass music and for whatever reason, punking it up, whether it's the work that you do on this record or the stuff that you do with the Dusters or this whole slam grass, jam grass, new grass thing of taking traditional music and putting a, you know, a punk kind of DIY feel to it, not necessarily punking it up, but, you know, putting a DIY feel to it that makes it feel a lot more modern. Like these songs, there's not a song on this record that doesn't sound as fresh today as it probably sounded when it was first made. Is that because of your playing style? Is it because we've become so accustomed to kind of the sounds nowadays, like in the last 10 to 15 years of this resurgence of bluegrass music? What is it about it that makes this music so timeless and that it still fits even in 2020?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that you said that. And, you know, I would definitely take that as a compliment, because, you know, I think it does. I think it's two things. I think it's the tune. You know, the tune itself is like, you know, you could probably play it on like shred rock guitar and it might sound cool, or, you know, so the tune itself has something there. There's a reason why people play it in jams for the last 50 years or whatever, because it's cool. It has a little something to it that's like either catchy or just enjoyable for whatever reason, you know, an instrumental piece of music would catch you. It's just got one of those things, something in there. So the tune is a big part of it, but yeah, people have been playing these songs for a long time and they sound different over the years. And so I think, you know, I guess some of that would definitely be my playing style. You know, the cool thing about dobro resophonic guitar is that it's still, even though it's been around a long time, it has been around that long. I mean, it's definitely like one of the newest instruments. I mean, it's, you know, it's been around for about 100 years, you know, but really, like, there's only been a few, you know, select few players over the years that have sort of put their mark on it that you've even heard of, you know what I mean? So in a lot of ways, the dobro still remains kind of new territory as an instrument. And so I think if you're like someone like me who kind of like dedicates their life to it, there's a lot of new territory. I mean, we've heard guitar music a lot, and I love guitar music. It's like one of my favorite types of music. Right. We've heard a lot of that, you know. Yeah. I've even heard a lot of fiddle music, you know. But honestly, even as a listener, as somebody who appreciates slide guitar, I feel like I've heard a lot of it, a lot that there is out there. Yeah, like, yeah. There, you can't say I've listened to all the guitar music, but you could pretty much listen to all the dobro music that's available, probably, you know? And so the instrument itself is still pretty fresh in my mind. That's why I like playing it. That's kind of why I gravitated towards it, because it was weird. And I felt like there was still a lot to discover and say on it that hadn't been said. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the instrument and my playing style, hopefully, you know, create a fresh sound, and that's kind of the idea, is to, you know, these tunes have been recorded by people. I don't want to do the same thing that's been done, you know. Right. And but that happens naturally because of the way I play, I think.
It's true, you know, when you think about dobro playing, like, there are tons of people who play pedal steel, and we know who all those people are, and we know the tradition of pedal steels and where it comes from. But there are maybe, you know, you mentioned Collier off the top, and Jerry Douglas is another one. And then what? Like, there's, you know, who are some of your influences? Who are some of the people that, you know, we may not be aware of that we should be thinking of? Because when I think dobro, I think of you and I think of Jerry Douglas. And, you know, maybe that's silly of me, but I can't think of too many other accomplished players that are playing on a national stage like the two of you. And Jerry's getting up in years. You might be the guy. Are there other influences on you?
I'll just stumble my way into that position when Jerry gets too old. Hey, you know,
I didn't mean that out of disrespect at all.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, and let's be honest, Jerry is in another level that you can't really taught. I mean, he took the instrument. He's the reason I play. I mean, I was into, not to digress for just a minute, but I was into slide guitar, like bottleneck blues style slide guitar. And I got pretty good at it. And I thought, I guess this is it. You know, I'll just kind of use this as a secondary thing. And because you can make some sounds, blah, blah. And then somebody played me a cassette tape of Jerry Douglas in a little trio he had called Skip, Hop, and Wobble. And I was like, oh my God, you can play jazz, you can play progressive bluegrass. You can do anything. Holy, I mean, so, you know, Jerry's like, there's just no, you know, the list of his pedigree is ridiculous. But yeah, there are other players. I mean, there's a guy named Rob Ikes, who's a big influence. He played in a bluegrass band for a long time called Blue Highway. Now he has a duo with a fellow named Trey Hensley. A lot of people may not have heard of him, but he is incredible. I mean, he's won the IBMA Dobro Player of the Year like 15 times, maybe.
Wow.
And then there's just a long, you know, there is a long list of like just lesser known players that are really good, you know, many of which are like maybe more traditional. There's a guy named Gene Wooten out of Nashville who's since passed, but he played with the Osborne Brothers and other people. Mike Aldridge is a big one. A few more people know about him. Yeah, I mean, nowadays there's not a ton. There are a lot of young players like coming up who I still discover. Like I notice them on social media or whatever, and it's like with any instrument, it's amazing to see how much better people get over time as a baseline in anything, whether it be sports or music or whatever. It's like the level of accomplishment just. The baseline level somehow goes up over time. It's really bizarre how that works, you know? Like if you put a basketball player right now who plays in the NBA on an NBA team like 30, 40 years ago, they'd probably be just the most dominant thing ever. And I think this is the same with music. And, you know, you look at a guy like Chris Thiele or something, and he couldn't have existed, you know, 50 years ago.
Right. I was thinking of Billy Strings, who could – Yeah, pick it with anybody, right? From the last 50 years, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, Billy Strings is a great example. So there are a lot of players, but this is another part of the thing is that I've heard all of that. You know, you most people out there haven't, but I have, and so I yearn for more slide guitar, and it's I have to really dig and basically I have to create it myself. You know. Right. There's not amazing slide guitar out there, but I've heard it. There's not all that much, you know? And so it's kind of weird being a Dobro player. You do feel like you're a bit on the cusp of like creating what is happening now and for the future, because there isn't all that much, you know, as opposed to like, say guitar, where it's just like, there's like, so, I mean, infinite guitar music already out there by the most amazing players ever, you know.
Would you say that the Dobro is similar to pedal steel in that, you know, the picking and the kind of skill and technique that's required is very similar? Like you would probably feel very comfortable in front of a desk playing, or maybe not. Maybe you wouldn't feel that comfortable.
You know, I owned one for a while. I'll say the level of technique that you have to learn is probably beyond Dobro. I mean, I've played a lot of instruments. It's probably one of the hardest instruments I've ever seen. I mean, you have at least one neck of 12 strings. You have knee levers that move strings in different directions, up or down. You have pedals that raise notes. You have a volume pedal to swell it. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And so, in general, it looks the same. You've got your slide and you're picking it. But aside from that, it's a whole different beast. And it is – I mean, you have to be a freak to play that thing. And I'm a huge fan. I love pedal steel music. That's even – like what I say about Dobro as far as like it being sort of a unique thing and like – still a lot to do on it. Pedal steel is like even that's just the weirdest. That's like a spaceship, you know. You're like flying some sort of alien spaceship on that thing, and not a lot of people can do it. And I owned one for a while. I got to where I would play along to this like Picking on the Grateful Dead album, where it was like basically like kind of working man's dead, simple country type tunes.
Yeah,
and I got to where I could do some basic chord progressions and stuff, but. I was like, I can't, I don't have time.
Right.
Like Dobro is freaking hard enough. Like, so I sold it, but I'm a huge fan.
The record comes out October 16th, if memory serves. It is a great collection of tunes. Aside from this project, the Dusters are playing now a little bit more than you have been probably in the last 6 months. There's the drive-in at Terry Bison Ranch coming up in September. Are you all regularly connected with one another and are practicing and maybe actively writing new music?
We talk all the time. You can't practice together, sadly, but remotely. Although we have the unnecessaries, which is me and Jeremy and Panda. No bass, no guitar, just all the melody instruments. Yeah. We call ourselves the unnecessaries. We've got a little trio that has done a few gigs in Colorado together, so that's been awesome. Super stoked to get Travis and Falco in here, and we're going to be recording a record next week. We've got at least a list of 20 brand new original songs that we've all written. We've got two specialty kind of projects that are already done, records that are complete that will be coming out this fall. So we're going to have probably two releases before the end of the year that are like sort of unique specialty things that we did, remotely. We've got a Duster record. I've got my record. Panda has another Trance Banjo record, yeah, a Trad Plus coming out. Jeremy has a new record out. So yeah, it's pretty, we've taken advantage of this time to really be able to do all kinds of stuff that, touring is amazing and that's our bread and butter and that's how we've made our name. But when you get just a little break from it, you can really get busy on some projects that you would never have been able to do. Like I was saying about my record, Same goes for the Dusters. Like all this time to write things to write about. With what's going on politically and socially and with COVID and everything, there's a lot to, it's a challenging time. There's a lot to write about. There's been time to write songs. And so there is a silver lining to the fact that we've had to take 6.5 months off,
But you're chomping at the bit to get back out there, right? I'm sure.
Oh my God. That's all cool. But I need the String Dusters. Like it's just become so much of who I am that it's tough to go long periods without it.
Yeah.
And without seeing my buddies, and doing that thing that's very unique that we do. That's like what we've made our lives about, and so it'll be nice to be able to do some of that.
Well, it's good too that you've had the downtime to work on your own projects, right? You probably would not have made this solo record had you not had the time.
And that's just it. And I think all the things that people have been able to do, all the creative stuff or just time with family, it's a huge recharge that gives you energy and power and feeds the soul to get back. And you can bring all that to the Dusters when we get back with a freshness and stuff that will be awesome, So yeah, again, silver linings with all this. And I feel like we would have never taken 6 months off,
right,
ever. Sure. I would have been in an old folks home and we would have still been trying to tour, it just would have never, you just never can do it, because you need funds and this and that. You would have never chosen. Maybe you might say, okay, let's take a month off or maybe even two at some point. Right. You would never say, let's take half a year off and just do whatever the hell you want, Yeah. Although we couldn't really do whatever the hell we want because it was COVID, but at least as far as spending time at home and whatnot, so that's been good.
Cool, man. Well, thank you very much for the record. It is called, and I have to look it up because it's got this 12 Bluegrass Classic for Resophonic Guitar, and in brackets we'll put Dobro from Andy Hall. Thanks so much for taking the time, dude. Can't thank you enough, and we look forward to more great things from you personally, but also from the band of brothers as well. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having me.
I could have easily titled the interview Everything You Wanted to Know About the Dobro or Resophonic Guitar, but forgot to ask with Andy Hall. What a terrific treat to chat with him, not just about this solo record, but everything Dusters and more. For more on Andy Hall, visit his Facebook page at facebook.com/AndyHallDobro.
Before we leave you, let's listen to another cutoff of 12 bluegrass classics for resophonic guitar. Here is House of the Rising Sun.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.